Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back. I can't believe that some of these stories that we go over and some of the things that are happening are actually real, because it just seems like some of the irony and some of the things that present themselves, it's just like, it's too surreal. It's like, is somebody in Hollywood making some of this stuff up? But before I digress, this show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org as well as RepublicReview.org. You are listening to the only show that is actually asserting the solution in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution. As Reagan said, government is the problem. There is a fix. That fix is getting the states to step up and do their job. It is that simple. So the number to call in is 215-867-8255. And I just want you to understand that as we move forward these next couple of months, we're going to start divulging some of the things that are actually panning out and how you can start affecting and leading. If you want to start leaning forward, we can't make some of this stuff public for the next few months. But if you want to get involved and get engaged, we'll start sharing some of it with you so that you can literally be, you know, let's call it the tip of the spear in your county and in your state and literally become a leader. Have you always wanted to be a part of something that was bigger than, you know, even the sum of the parts? You want to be a part of something that will probably go down in the annals of history as probably even a greater feat than the Revolutionary War and the framing of the Constitution. If you believe that what those men did in Independence Hall was nothing short of a miracle, I truly believe that the Lord will give us the same blessings that we can pull off even a bigger miracle, and that is pulling this republic out of the abyss and back onto not only the track that the framers put it on, but I believe even a greater or a grander direction. You got to remember that they couldn't fathom technology that we would be dealing with today. And so there are lots of things that the government is literally not doing. It's kind of like HP or these large corporations and how they have literally changed their operational model to become far more efficient, leaner, and everything else. But why doesn't government do that? And so we could literally bring this republic not only out of the abyss, but back and put it on track in a 21st century spectrum and actually putting it into context, ready to move forward to the 25th, the 30th, and whatever century down the road, because we're literally in a position of being able to make those types of changes. And I'm not talking about really, you know, any constitutional types of changes, other than how we really look at, and I'm looking forward to this conversation with Aaron Williams Lee. Hopefully it'll be in the next week or so. And you'll start understanding where we need to be, because I'm telling you, the wool has been pulled over our eyes for 200 years. We've been deceived. And even though some of these people may have been, let's just say, with noble intent, they actually had real nefarious machinations to self-aggrandize themselves. And the consequences of that is what we have to deal with today, because we've had to deal with the likes of the Bushes, the Clintons, and the Obamas, and so forth. It's not going to get much better. But anyway, if you have not watched that video on my Take Action page, please do so that you can understand, get a good grounding on auditing the Constitution, why, and Republic Review and this whole concept. That's the first start. And if you want to get involved, like I said, just send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. If you want to support us financially, we've got the crowdfunding campaign that's going to ride out there. We're literally just trying to get the money back from the travel expenses and those types of things, because we just don't have the kind of money to actually float. Washington didn't have the money to float out there to fight the Revolutionary War. We need some support. And I'm telling you, everybody that's gotten involved with this cause, indirectly and or directly, I can tell you that I've yet to have anybody come forward and say, you know what, ever since I started getting involved with you, my life's gotten worse. Everybody can really start counting blessings. And so if you want to be a part of the, let's just say, you know, those who are receiving the blessings and fighting this good cause, step forward. I don't believe those blessings will be withheld from anybody. But anyway, I think it's wrong to necessarily try to tempt and to put it out there. But I'm just saying, if, well, what's the best way to put it? And, you know, when you kind of look at how grandparents treat their children's children, and the children, you know, nominally say, or, you know, typically say, they go, you know what, that's just old people trying to get into heaven, because they sure didn't treat us kids like that, right? And so I get that. But the whole point is, and we should never be doing things with the intent of receiving something. But I do believe that when we are obedient, when we are protecting liberty, I do believe that the divine hand of providence shows itself in our lives via blessings and or other things. And so if you want to get out of the norm, if you just don't have enough shaking in your life, step in and then let us know how things are going, because most of the people I run into and that I deal with are just, you know, overwhelmed by how things are constantly, how they're constantly being impacted in such positive ways. Even though we have things to complain about, we've got our problems. I'm just telling you that, you know, anybody that steps out usually always has their share of problems. But it's the ability, and one of my favorite albums, or the title of one of my favorite albums, I should say, because I love the title, is Learning to Be Happy with What You Have to Be Happy With. And so that sounds like complacency, but no, that means that if you've got gifts, if you've got the ability to do something, then do it, use it, and actually be able to develop it and grow it. And that's where you can find real happiness. Anyway, let me move forward. Just the basic obligatory groveling. If you want to help, you know, by all means, we humbly accept any type of help and or offerings that you want to make, whether that be financial in the crowdfunding, or if you want to just get involved. We do need leaders in every state. And so I'm hoping that those of you who actually have, you know, a minute a day to get involved, it doesn't take much time. It really doesn't. And you'll see how much time you can actually make. Kind of reminds me of the story Danny Kaye used to tell about, I think it was Nail Soup. And I'm gonna go on this little tangent, and I don't have a lot of time, but I'm gonna tell you the story, because it starts off with Danny Kaye going up, and this is during the War of the Depression, where there was really nothing left. You know, people didn't have anything to eat, and this, you know, hobo Danny Kaye's projecting himself as kind of like this homeless person or a hobo or what have you, and he walks up and he speaks to this widow, and he says, you know, do you mind if we can, you know, because she told him she has nothing to eat. And he goes, that's okay. How about let's, you know, share a pot of nail soup. Do you have a pot that we can, you know, boil some water? Because I have a nail we can kind of throw in that pot and make some soup. And she goes, yeah, okay. So she kind of appeased the guy and put the nail in some water and started boiling it. And he goes, you know, what would be really good is if we just had a potato. And sure enough, she actually had a potato. So they cut the potato up, and he goes, and then as he starts identifying just a little bit of one type of ingredient or another, next thing you know, they either find it or she has it or what have you. Even though her cupboards were pretty much bare, she was actually able to put together the makings of a very, you know, healthy and nutritious soup. And it all started with a nail. And it can all start for you with an email or a contribution or what have you. Just getting involved, and you'll see what happens when you do that. As I always do, I checked the news. There is no sign that the federal government is disbanding any of its tyrannical roles, responsibilities, and powers. Regardless of how many messages I send off to the White House, it's not going to change. So what that means is we need to start focusing if we really want to turn this around. And we don't have time to deal with distractions. And so today is going to be just like every other day. It's going to be a Martin, well, not like every other day, because, right, I sometimes will actually give you extracts or what have you. I will give you constitutional arguments and or what have you. And actually, I'll put it in perspective because I kind of want to share this, because many a times I get involved in conversations with people that are really very smart. They've done lots of really good research. But the problem is that they've accepted, 9 times out of 10, it's not that they've accepted, but somehow they've been cornered by the paradigm of a living document. And so whether it is the, you know, because a lot of these folks I talk to and deal with, they clearly come right out and say, no, the Constitution is not a living document. But all of a sudden, they start going down research and they, you know, next thing you know, they start building upon or making arguments that, oh, well, case law and precedents, you know, because this ruling was done, then they were able to do this ruling and then this ruling. This is how we've slid. And they don't realize that. That is the antithesis of a contract. That's that basically they're supporting the concept of a living document that can be skewed via the political and or the court process. What with that, I've got the music. I'll be right back after a couple promos. So please stay tuned. I'll be right back after this. Thank you so much. Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcasts and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Mobiusstrip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Mobiusstrip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue. And so anyway, as I have all of these conversations with folks, 9 times out of 10, it doesn't take a lot of effort for them to finally get to the, if it's an epiphany, a realization. A lot of people kind of already know, but it doesn't take much to finally get them and show them the academic evidence that this Constitution is a compact. It's a hard, fast, locked down compact that anything that is going to be done by the federal government requires an enumeration in the contract or an amendment to enumerate it to the contract or a constitutionally ratified treaty to amend it to the contract as well. So there are two mechanisms of making changes to the Constitution. A lot of people forget about the treaty. But bottom line, when we finally get to that point, it completely washes away the progressive paradigm that the Constitution is this living document that has been moved and slid and skewed by lawyers in the court system to basically say, we believe it's this. They don't get away with that. If they say that they believe privacy exists within the Constitution, they actually have to call it out. If they want the clarity of what is truly defined within the Constitution, that's what the ratification debates are. You go to those, and the ratification debates will clearly delineate what the federal government can start pulling in and protecting and or defining. What's interesting, and I've read these to you before, in going through the whole argument against the Bill of Rights, they talk about how, you know, if you don't include something, there's a good chance that all of a sudden they, you know, down the road will say, well, because you didn't include this in the Bill of Rights, this protection wasn't included, then, you know, we can actually go after it, or we can actually, you know, leverage it, control it, or what have you. And I'm bringing this up because it just came to my mind that, you know, the whole concept of privacy was not a protected right. It was not. The federal government was restricted from doing anything outside of what was enumerated. And actually, privacy, they have no jurisdiction over. If it's not in the contract, if it's not in the Constitution, they have no jurisdiction over it. Only the states do. And the question is it within the state's contract to have jurisdiction over privacy, to say a person has a right to that level of privacy or they don't have that right to privacy? But it's strictly a state issue. It is not a federal issue. And so as they reached out, they actually applied privacy and threw that out there to say, we're going to start protecting privacy. It's almost like they amended the Bill of Rights and inserted a right to privacy. And I'm going, well, that's interesting. As I try to point out to people that back in the old days, you know, there was a very limited government and that it did not do any of the compassionate services. Religion did that. Religion actually had a huge role in our society because government did these things only and religion did other things in controlling behavior. Like if you behaved badly, then you could be shamed, the scarlet letter or what have you. You could be, you know, castigated or you could be excommunicated from your religion. But as we've become godless, the religion has shifted from a actual doctrinal church over to the secular government. And now the government has started pulling in religious doctrine to regulate us outside the Constitution. In other words, they're actually usurping more and more of our rights and powers that they have no right to do without an amendment. These things are outside their jurisdiction, but they're pulling these things in. It's just like, where do they have the jurisdiction to dictate what's going on in the education system that you have to learn about evolution and that your concept of creation is outside of, you know, it's technically outside their grasp, but now all of a sudden they've pulled it into their grasp and saying, you can't teach that anymore. They have no business in those types of decisions and actions and or regulating. They have, it's no jurisdiction. There's the word. They have zero jurisdiction. So the question I have for you, because they've exerted all of this crap into their jurisdiction, that they have jurisdiction over anything and everything they choose. What is it going to take for you to finally realize and get involved and say, you know what? No, the Constitution has granted you very specific and defined jurisdiction. That's all you have jurisdiction to. Quit going to the court systems over an issue that they have no jurisdiction over. If it's a state issue, take it to the state. If not, then it's got to go up to the collective states and say, what say you, Republic? Instead of going to the federal government, period. It's really, it's frustrating. But in these conversations, people finally get those epiphanies and go, wow, you mean all this time we've been subjugating ourselves to our own demise? And I go, absolutely, you got it. There you go. Give this guy a star. Give this guy, you know, the recognition for, you know, coming to the conclusion of really what's the problem. And it is government. Government is the problem, as I started this whole thing off with. And so here we go, going into the State of the Union. Let's bring somebody that's absolutely, completely irrelevant to what's going on. But bottom line, because this person is a poster child to the communist, they've asked the loser, Stacey Abrams, for the Georgia governor race to come up and deliver the Democratic response to President Trump's State of the Union address. Huh, interesting. I mean, what is she... Why are they doing this other than the fact that they are trying to change the forward-facing image? They don't want to have an old man or an old woman. They want a younger face, a more, I don't want to say vibrant, but they definitely want the face of the new communist movement in America to be in our faces so that, you know, we start getting... and or accepting the messengers. And let's just keep it in mind. Go look at, you know, her campaign and what she stood for. It's just like Oso the communist or the rest of the communists. They want to take from those who have and give to those who have not. They want social justice. They want to distribute the outcome for all sorts of purposes, whether it be economic, whether it be political justice, what have you. And so there is an underlying message. The Democrats are really positioning themselves, and there's no doubt, but in 2020, you're going to see them actually, who knows, they may actually become honest enough to say, what's wrong with communism? What is the matter with taking from those who have and giving to those who have not? That's only fair. It's their fair share. They've got to give up their fair share. You know, if you haven't taken the time, and I'm not a big Ayn Rand fan, but there's some concepts and principles in there that are just, they're just standard. I wish they would have done a movie with Ludwig von Mises' socialism or come up with some stuff on Ludwig von Mises. But even better yet, I would love to see actually more movies and more information coming out regarding James Madison and Thomas Jefferson and the framers and so forth, instead of these progressive labels that they're putting on these guys. I mean, these guys were so revolutionary that after having slavery entrenched for about 150 plus years here in the colonies and now in these newly found states, these were the men that wanted to literally disband slavery. If you start understanding, you know, how radical these guys were for liberty, but if you look at today, these far left socialists or communists, they're actually the champions of slavery. They want to enslave all the citizens to the state. How dare you be better than the state? And that comes back to this state religion as well. How dare you question the doctrine and dogma of the state? Anyway, let me give you some, because I know you probably haven't signed up for the Need to Know News by G. Edward Griffin. And so there's some pretty interesting stuff in here. And it talks about communism. His Need to Know News edition today came out with a Dr. Michael Rechtenwald, and he's a retired NYU professor. And he was actually on Fox News, and he starts talking about this. And actually, you should go watch the segment. But here, I have some problems with what he says, and I'll kind of editorialize in a second here. But he basically says that socialism spread across college campuses decades ago. I'll actually say a century ago. After the professors went to the Soviet Union and were exposed to propaganda. I will say that after professors went to Germany and were exposed to the Frankfurt School of Communism at the late 1800s, early 1900s. So that's the real truth. He's kind of obfuscating some of this. When they returned, they began teaching socialism to future teachers in the U.S., and that process of teachers teaching teachers has subverted the entire education system. Rechtenwald says nearly all professors in the humanities and social sciences today are left-wing socialists, and so that's just a nice word for communists as far as I'm concerned. But like I said, I'll finish this little story that Mr. Griffin talks about, and then I'll give you some editorializing, because I think there's actually some, and I know Griffin knows all of this, and so I'm sure he would completely agree with what I'm going to say, but we'll be right back after this. Thank you so much. Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. And let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
And so, as I was saying, Rechtenwald says that nearly all professors in the humanities and social sciences today are left-wing socialists. That is incorrect. That is an absolute obfuscation. I remember, because I went through business school, and I actually have a degree in business, and I remember reading labor law manual for my bachelorate, and the dolt that wrote that book basically came right out and said, America invented slavery. And I'm going, really? The propaganda and the leftist agenda is not limited to the humanities and social sciences. It is propagated throughout the entire curriculum because they just don't want a small portion of our society indoctrinated. They have to support the indoctrination in every spectrum. I even believe, because I've known people that have gone through theology, that even the theological spectrum has been infiltrated and is indoctrinating people on collectivism. There's no doubt in my mind that, you know, the entire system is entrenched and ensconced in these communist this communist education indoctrination. So why is this important, though? It's because this substantiates the manipulation and the unconstitutional action of the government, the general government, as well as even our state governments, that they've actually started colluding. That's why it's important that we get rid of the rhinos, get rid of the leftists, and all these people that are willing players and participants at this mantle of power in subjugating us, in moving us in this direction. That's why we have to actually start getting in these dark red states, because we can do this in the dark red states, because the electorate demands constitutional actions and they want to see their representatives doing, you know, and supporting the Constitution instead of supporting these progressive agendas that you're finding in the purple and blue states. That's why if you live in a blue state, surrendering money or contributing to trying to save that state is an absolute waste. What you need to do, and if you're not convinced on this, email me directly. We'll work through this because I can prove to you that your only hope, our only hope, are these dark red states. Getting them to stand up, because they will become the anchor that will literally save the rest of us from sliding off the edge. When it comes to the global concept of, you know, globalizing everything and creating a global government, they're the ones that will actually be able to stop it. And so that's why this is so important. It's not just because I wrote about it. It's not just because I've been saying it here on this show. This is important because if you have any hope in saving our constitutional republic, we have to invest and actually get involved in supporting this purging and going rhino hunting in these dark red states. And so they are our last bastion of hope. If we lose them, we've lost it all. And I don't know, you know, what to do. I will probably stop broadcasting and start, you know, shoveling sandbags and start camouflaging the house. And I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I don't think there's any hope other than, you know, heading for the hills and waiting for the second coming. Because if our states surrender, if these dark red states surrender to this agenda, then it would be literally a miracle from the divine hand of providence to pull us back. I believe he's willing to give us the miracle as long as we're willing to do the work, just like he performed a miracle with the framers because they were willing to do the work. So anyway, I don't have any music, but, you know, you can just think of that Save the Planet, you know, the Edgar Winter Group, or actually it wasn't the Edgar Winter Group. It was White Trash, Edgar Winter's White Trash, where they were singing Save the Planet in an old gospel tune, because I want to talk a little bit about global warming, because it actually has hit in the news that this huge polar vortex that has hit the United States has halted the delivery of mail in several states. Are you serious? What is it? Neither rain, sleet, or snow will stop the... I mean, come on. I know they don't mention temperature, but really? Now, here's the interesting thing, because I know that in the summertime, when it was so hot, they actually had mail people, and if you understand what has been happening to your postal carrier has been exploited by Amazon. Amazon has created these contracts to literally use, and that's why you see, if you're wondering why the mail is being delivered on Sundays, that is not the mail, that is strictly Amazon deliveries. And it's not like they're paying these guys any extra wages and compensation in doing this. They're getting away with slave labor practically. And I have a problem with that. But more importantly, you know, because they've actually, you know, had such longer routes because of all of this stuff. If you didn't know, there was actually, I believe, a postal worker that died from heat exposure because they didn't have air conditioning in those old Jeeps. And they're going, wow, you know, because of this global warming, we've got to go out and buy a whole new fleet. And so they bought out, you know, went out and bought all these fleets with, you know, this vans and so forth with air conditioning. And I noticed that the people that deliver here now have nice vans that have been retrofitted and so forth. But here's the interesting take on this. Well, now that they have these nicer vehicles, are you telling me they can't take the global cooling? What the heck's going on? I mean, the governor of Kentucky has already kind of poked everybody in the eye over this whole thing that we're getting too soft. I mean, we're closing schools now because it's cold? Really? We have heaters. We have technology. Come on. But they don't want the little kiddies to get cold. Anyway, it's just, we've been going through this feminization of our society. The misandrists have been driving us down this softer and softer path. And I've been telling you that as well. And so there are consequences to that. And so if you're expecting mail and you're living within this really cold area of the cold vortex, sorry, you're not going to get mail until it warms up a little bit. Anyway, G. Edward Griffin also pointed out in his Need to Know News about Enrique Peña Nieto, who apparently was the Mexican, we all know he was the Mexican president from 2012 until this last December, but apparently he took a $100 million bribe from drug lord El Chapo Guzman. According to the informant Alex Fuentes, a Colombian who was the right-hand man of El Chapo until he was captured in 2013. And so when Guzman got extradited to the United States to face charges, some of this stuff for drug trafficking in the United States, some of this stuff has started to come out. And even though Pena denies this whole accusation, the journalists have reported that under his regime, the Mexican cartels grew in power, and that's actually been proven that they have grown in power, and that the government appeared to be not only unwilling, but in some respects, they were kind of actually helping because the government was releasing key cartel figures who were just released from prison after they've been held and they were convicted. All of a sudden, they just started getting released. So in other words, they were really culpable in helping undermine and supporting the drug trafficking, you know, but that was to the tune of $100 million. And so, you know, apparently politicians everywhere can be bought. But let me take an aside on this whole bribery and corruption concept. And let me ask you this. Do you think the Clintons, Bushes, and Obamas were as dirty as Enrico Peña Nieto? What do you think? Do you think they were, you know, as bad? Or maybe, you know, they weren't that bad in your mind. But I will submit to you that I believe that they were dirtier because they unconstitutionally subjugated us to international bureaucracy. So we actually have these protections from government being able to do these things. Down in Mexico, they kind of have dictators. They don't have a constitutional republic that protects us and our rights from being trampled upon. And these Clintons, Bushes, and Obamas have given away technology. They've basically sold us to the Agenda 2021, Agenda 2030, and so forth. If you want, that was Bush Senior. Bush Junior was actually, you know, going into the not only what was it, the North American Union, where we were trying to create a whole new government like the EU, where Bush had basically had kind of sold us out, but they couldn't constitutionally get over some of that. And so Clinton was the one that actually gave away national secrets. Obama was just as culpable. And, you know, basically everybody's been bending over to the Chinese. We've been subsidizing their communism. And they've used the government purse, all of them, to reimburse donors to their campaign so that they could take power, seize power here in America, and inflict this crap upon us. There's no doubt in my mind that our presidents have been far dirtier than Peña. And so with that, how about that segue right into the break? And so with that, we will be going into just a quick break, and I've got some more good rants for you as soon as we get back. So please stay tuned, and we'll be right back after this. Thank you so much. Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our Republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process.
Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255. Okay, so why is this tangent of mine important? Why am I going down this tangent regarding, you know, our presidents and Enrico Peña Nieto? You know, I mean, okay, he was bribed. Yeah, okay, so we are a nation of laws, and we need to live by the rule of law. The rule of law is, you know, our foundation. It is our bedrock. Not arbitrary law, but the law that is based upon the Constitution. In other words, if it's constitutional, then that's what we need to be living by. We don't and should not be subjugated to laws that are in violation of our constitutions, both the U.S. Constitution and our state constitution. So all that being said, bottom line, you know, whatever Mexico does with him, they should seize all of his money, and he should probably go to jail and spend whatever time, you know, they have in their penal system for, you know, punishing somebody who has taken bribery, corruption, or what have you. I don't know how long that is. But those here in this nation, what we have are people that have been committing treason.
They have been aiding and abetting and giving comfort to our enemies and selling us out. And so there is a rule of law to this. It's not, you know, Sandy Berger, we're going to slap you on the wrist. And because you're culpable of hiding actual treason, you know, he was fined, what, $50,000 for destroying classified information when it was literally directly involved in actually pointing the finger at Clinton for being culpable in the 9/11. Anyway. The whole point here is that there is a process and there is a punishment for those who commit treason, and that those people should be hanged, period. We need to go back to holding the law and the punishment as what it should be. But I'm not asking for a lynch mob to go out and gather everybody to do that. We have a process, and I believe the evidence is overwhelming. We just need to actually have that in a treason trial presented. And then, you know, when we're all done, you know, rope's not that expensive. We can come up with enough rope to actually hang everybody that's been committing treason. Bottom line, most of all of these people are politicians, and unfortunately, that's the consequences, right? I keep talking about the importance of consequences and holding people accountable. We cannot allow and sidestep this. Now, am I a person that believes in mercy? Well, that's a different subject, and so I'm not going to go down there. I truly believe, though, that we are a nation of laws. We need to live by the laws of the land, and committing treason is a crime, and these folks need to be tried for treason, period. Okay, so anyway, let me just kind of move on into a new topic. And I don't know if you've heard, but California Governor Gavin Newsom, who is a wealthy leftist, avoids living under the policies he is forcing upon others in his state. Okay, so he has shunned the governor's mansion, which is walking distance to the state capitol, and instead has moved out an hour from the capitol. In other words, he's commuting, so he's a good distance out, and he's living in the suburbs in a $3.7 million home. Well, you know, and I don't besmirch anybody for doing that. However, I will get to the point on this, because he's literally a hypocrite, and we'll get into that. He basically has now taken and has an entourage because of all the people that he has to cart with him and so forth. Thus, you know, he's actually done a few things by, one, isolating himself and increasing his footprint and so forth. So, as he's moved to this predominantly white neighborhood, which means his children are deprived of the diversity in Sacramento schools, where children speak 43 different languages and 40% do not speak English at all. So he's taken his kids out of the Sacramento school system so that they can have, you know, a protected environment. Now, this is the epitome of the elitist mentality, but I'm going to tell you that the elitist mentality actually exists with all those types of people who possess power. However, here is the stark and defining difference. The leftist elitists have a knack for taking hypocrisy to the extreme. They love to poke everyone in the eye over diversity being green, morality, and class warfare. And they tell us not to judge, and we got to be tolerant, and yet they demand that they must be the prosecutor, the judge, the jury, and the executioner, instead of allowing, you know, the process to actually flow per the law. What we have here is really just another indictment on how communists want to tax the rich, but make themselves immune. They want to force diversity, busing, and quotas on others. But again, they are immune to these standards. They demand we suffer with carbon taxes, and yet they have no standards or accountability for what they do, because they need to do it because they're more important than us. That, my friends, is the epitome of the leftist hypocrisy. And Gavin Newsom is just another daily poster child in all of them. They all have that. There are consequences to who we vote for. People, you need to start waking up and understand that when you're voting for a leftist, when you're voting for a Democrat, you are literally voting for an elitist who is above you, who is going to subjugate you, and they are going to make themselves immune. Now, granted, there are Republicans that do this, but they're not real Republicans. It is the rhinos that do this. The rhinos are literally socialist Democrats that come into the party. They think that they can kind of relate to those people, but they, just like McCain, just like the Bushes and everybody else, they are elitists, and they are, you know, they're the epitome of hypocrisy as well. Now let's move into, because I'm going to be calling, and I need to get out to Orlean. I forget her last name. She is the president of the Eagle Forum in California. I just talked to her. She wrote a book. I want to get her on probably this next week or the following week and actually talk to her about the 5G. Here's the interesting thing. Apparently, all of a sudden, a couple of Democrats have some like this moral epiphany. And so the House Energy and Commerce Committee has asked the Federal Communications Commission to produce communication records between the FCC employees and network operators, corporate operators, related to the commission's recent order preempting local control and pricing of infrastructure access, alleging that the FCC representatives may have acted improperly in support of an initiative that is likely to save operators billions in 5G deployment costs. Now, this 5G is huge, and that's why I want to bring Orlean in. And here's the quote. It has come to our attention that certain individuals, this is some Democrats, at the FCC have urged companies to challenge the order the commission adopted in order to game the judicial lottery procedure and intimidated the agency would look favorably towards entities that were not helpful. And this was written by the chairman, Democrat Frank Pallone, who is a Democrat from New Jersey, and Mike Doyle, a Democrat from Pennsylvania. He's a chair of the Subcommittee on Communications and Technology, in a letter to the FCC chair, Ajit Pai. If true, it would be inappropriate for the FCC to leverage its power as a regulator to influence regulated companies to further its agenda in seeking a more friendly court. Here's the thing, and this is my take on this. What's happened? Have the Democrats actually become moral here? Have the Democrats actually really started, you know, doing what's best for the Republic and the people? No. Bottom line is, this is just a facade because the Democrats have been in the tank for the deep state, and they've been in the tank for tech companies to actually have full control over us. So what is it that they're trying to do? I don't know, but I do have this idea. Let's shut down the FCC as an unconstitutional power and let the state step in to regulate this. Let the states actually either sell their folks downriver and pay the consequences, or there's a lot of good states out there that'll regulate and actually stop this 5G network from being deployed. Most of the states will actually start, you know, and people in these other states will start waking up and going, hey, these other states aren't doing it. So what's happening to us? Why are we doing this? What the heck is going on? If this goes to the states, citizens in dark blue states will be screwed unless the states create a cooperative commission based on what is best for the Republic and not just a few states. So I hate to say that, but because I kind of live in a blue state and I don't want this to actually be deployed where I'm going to be baked by this 5G network. However, you know, the federal government has no constitutional authority. I can get into the 9-month abortions, and I'll probably lead with this tomorrow. This whole 9-month abortions, because it's been in the news for the past 2 weeks and I haven't been able to hit it. But bottom line, let me just say this: abortion, marriage, education, healthcare, housing, agriculture, parks, energy, and everything else that is not in the Constitution needs to be left to the states. People need to start understanding the consequences of electing immoral, godless politicians because they're going to ram down their intolerant agenda down our throats, and then they're going to tell us to tolerate it. With that, I'm G.R. Mobley. I am Reclaiming the Republic. I need your help, so please hit me up, info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. God bless, and I'll be back tomorrow. Thank you so much.
The reason progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost every billionaire in the world is funding a vast array of different groups, and these groups' efforts are to undermine our republic and our Constitution. If you don't believe me, just Google donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to successfully combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, healthcare, state lands, housing, labor, and many other roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states, is by you and I and local businesses getting involved in supporting political programs and efforts based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review. So please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to reclaimingtherepublic.org and go to the contribution page, and you can become a listed supporter of Liberty.